I think the big opportunity, Chris, is people just becoming more aware of what opportunities are out there and some of the things that they're doing currently. And that's what's nice just about having the Awareness Month is it kind of draws your attention to the things that go by and by, you know, by the wayside every day because of our normal routine. So just focusing on some of the things you're doing to strategize to begin, you know, saving or getting out of debt are things that are going to benefit you.
In fact, I noticed that's one of the things here that I have noted down here that's of points that we probably should talk about is getting out of debt. Tell us what's the wise thing to do on that.
Well, I think it's going to be more of a prominent focus now because interest rates, what everybody's telling us, right, is they're going to start rising.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these debt positions have been set on a variable rate, which have been in historic lows. And as this interest rates start to climb, it's going to, you know, it's going to cost more for that leveraged debt. And it's always hard to focus on saving when you have those high interest debts that are going to start, you know, I guess cutting into the whatever results you're getting on the positive side from an investment strategy. So debt's always got to be a focus to get out of.
And we should probably think ahead in case something happens. We don't always plan for emergencies, but it's probably a pretty good idea, eh?
Yeah, usually before we even recommend somebody start saving a program is build up a cash reserves at least 3 to 6 months because if you don't, you know, I always tell them life happens. You know, things are still going to go wrong. Expenses are still going to come up. And if you don't have that emergency reserve, one of two things. You're either going to go back into debt or you're going to pull out of the investment strategies, which, you know, and then the timing, it might not be a good situation to pull it out that particular moment and it could cause you more problems.
Probably not a bad idea to have just a regular savings account, would it? It wouldn't have to necessarily be a real serious interest-bearing one, but it was just have something there to store that that reserve in, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not about making money. It's about being there to avoid the problems that you would have if you didn't have the cash reserves.
Let's take a look at capturing the future here. What are some of the interesting points we should note here about, and we've talked about some of these before, I know, in past conversations, about taking care of your money besides looking to the emergency situation?
Yeah, well, I mean, the future, you have to take control of the things that you're doing currently because there's a lot of the companies are shifting away from defined benefits. There's very few pensions anymore. And if you don't begin paying yourself now, paying yourself first, as we'd like to phrase it, it's going to be more difficult to save after you go through and you're nearing retirement when the time horizon isn't going to be on your side because markets, for the most part, they're going to do what they're going to do. They're going to go up. They're going to go down. But if we have longer time horizons, generally the results are a lot more predictable. And you basically need to focus on, you know, what you're going to contribute because just planning on Social Security for most families is not going to be enough.
Mm-hmm. We talked in the past year about the importance of individual retirement accounts. And we know that certainly the older you get, you have the opportunity and many of them to be able to put even more money in up to the limit, don't you?
Yep, and they got a lot of catch-up provisions right now. The 401ks are the first thing we always have a conversation with. If your company has a 401k, and specifically if they're going to match, you definitely want to take advantage of the match dollars. But one of the nice things about having a structured plan like that, I'm no different. You know, if I don't see the money, there's no way I'm going to spend it. So having that, it creates that discipline to pay yourself first. It comes out automatically from your paycheck, and that's something that you can gradually increase over time to work towards amounts that are going to be beneficial for you. You know, you can do it in $5, $10, $15 a pay period, and over time, it allows you to increase your savings substantially.
You probably should also, too, take care and make sure that maybe if you are involved, for example, in a mutual fund of some sort to try to diversify your portfolio, that might be wise to even look ways to diversify even further, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a lot of people hear diversifying and diversification, what does it mean? Yeah, you diversify within your portfolios, but sometimes the types of investments that are not necessarily correlated directly to the market can be a great way to diversify your money as well.
Now, speaking about money, protecting it's very important, I know, too. What are some things that we probably should do, Greg, that would be wise moves, either certainly individually or as a family, and certainly with the help of a financial advisor?
Well, one of the things that I always like to make my clients aware of is the tax implications in terms of contributions to a qualified plan versus something like a Roth IRA that doesn't necessarily give you the deduction, and take a look at the value added now versus later. So reducing the amount of taxes can definitely increase the dollars that are working for you, but then also on the distribution side of it, considering what taxes would what kind of impact it would have when you retire. But then also, as most people are aware, there's a huge awareness in the industry right now, especially with some of the things that are going on with the Department of Labor and the law changes. You know, just understanding the fees that you have and understanding what those fees are, what value they're bringing to either you from a planning aspect or to your portfolio, and make sure the fees are justified. You know, if the fees can be reduced, always be cognitive of less fees. But if you are paying fees, make sure that the value is there in other planning aspects.
We're talking with Northwest Indiana financial advisor Greg Hammer during this Financial Literacy Month, and I know that we've talked about making wise decisions on investments and protecting your investments and protecting your money flow. And it's something probably, too, we should do something if we haven't done so already to help protect our family. And that's we hate to think about some of these things, but there'll be a time that we're not there and they need the help. Tell us what we should be doing now to be able to protect our family.
Well, there's a couple things, and it's never too young to start. I mean, this is one of the things I do myself. You know, I don't just preach it, but when you go into a simple power of attorney from even a medical standpoint, if something were to happen, but even establishing, you know, limited power of attorneys as you get into an age where you might need help from a child or another family member, or if you don't have a family member, it's even more critical. You know, to help them in the times when decisions may become a little bit more difficult for that individual. And it makes it easier on the kids. You know, if you state your desired wishes, exactly what it is that you want to do in a way of a will or put it in writing, you know, it helps the kids with the struggles after, you know, mom and dad can't handle it. You know, more than one child's probably never going to agree on what's the best for mom and dad 100%. So if you can clearly state it, it's going to make it a lot easier on those children.
I know that in case of having a will, it's very important. My wife and I have one to take care of our daughter in the future, if need be. I know of, unfortunately, of family members and in-laws that didn't have wills, and they're dealing with matters now involving in the court system. Luckily, it's not been very painful, but it can be. It can be pretty nasty if you don't plan ahead like that, isn't it?
Absolutely, and you know, the laws have changed so much. There used to be a large need for a trust in the estate planning. And today's laws, especially with the way the estate limitations are, Indiana, they've eliminated the inheritance tax. But there are still some things that you need to do, even if a trust doesn't necessarily fit your particular situation. One specific thing is a simple example. A few years ago, they changed the way that houses can be structured in that you can put a beneficiary on the home. Mm-hmm. And just simply labeling a beneficiary on the home would help eliminate some of the estate hassles for either your executor or your kids, and it avoids that probate process. And those things are going to simplify, and the more you simplify, the less costly they become to the family and the less stressful to the family.
In particular, just one point comes to mind. Say that the husband and wife getting along in years, they have a child that's still around, maybe because of issues involving health or involving maybe they have developmental problems and the like, but they're still able to do things. You want to take care of them, and that's a good way to be able to at least help keep them in the home if something should happen to you and the spouse.
Absolutely. You know, one we always talk about with, especially if there's a special needs situation, there's a lot of things to consider with the value, what that can do, especially, you know, if they receive money, a lot of times the current benefits that they're receiving could be discontinued and then those assets until they're used or restructured. And, you know, so there's definitely planning that needs to be done in that area if you have a special needs or there's a control situation is the words we use often that would definitely benefit the family as opposed to them just receiving those monies.
Now, Greg, we brought up a lot of points here in our conversation. Is there any place that anybody could go to take a look online or get some other information, get ready to go actually sit down with the financial advisor about some of these matters we've talked about?
Yeah, I was, you know, always getting information ahead of time is advantageous. The challenge is, as you know, Chris, out there in the media, there's always two spectrums, right? You got one side and the other side, and it's hard because, you know, people are always going to present the way they feel is in the best interest. But just be careful about blanket statements, you know, things that say, hey, always do it this way or always do it that way. I generally think that those are not going to be advantageous in the exploratory stage because you really need to think in the context of your personal situation. And I think just getting a general understanding of some of the things that they're going to be up against before they sit down with somebody You know, you don't have to know how to fix the car, but, you know, knowing a little bit about how a car operates and the things you got to do are going to be helpful in the conversation with the mechanic, so to speak.
Well,
and that's where I think most people can gain a lot of confidence when they come in and sit down with an advisor.